You're listening to The Liberty Beat, your daily source for Liberty news and activist updates. Online at thelibertybeat.com. John Bush here with your Liberty Beat for February 6th, 2013. Gold opened today at $1,676, silver at $31.89, and Bitcoin is trading at $20.92. Today's edition of the Liberty Beat is sponsored by Central Texas Gunworks, specializing in handgun defense training, concealed handgun courses, and firearm sales. Online at CentralTexasGunworks.com. And now the news. Uncomfortable with the Obama administration's use of deadly drones, a growing number in Congress is looking to limit America's authority to kill suspected terrorists, even U.S. citizens. The Democratic-led outcry was emboldened by the revelation in a newly surfaced Justice Department memo that shows drones can strike against a wider range of threats with less evidence than previously believed. The drone program, which has been used from Pakistan across the Middle East and into North Africa to find and kill an unknown number of suspected terrorists, is expected to be a topic of debate when the Senate Intelligence Committee grills John Brennan, the White House's pick for CIA chief, at a hearing Thursday. Too much drama? Boredom and scads of irrelevant information are just some of the reasons Facebook users give for taking a break from the world's biggest social networking site for weeks at a time, according to a new study. A report from the Pew Research Center's Internet in America Life Project found that some 61% of Facebook users had taken a hiatus of at least several weeks for myriad of reasons, whether they were wary from an onslaught of gossip or, for the more pious, the arrival of Lent. Yet the use of Facebook, whether constant or not, is pervasive in America. Of the American adults who use the Internet, 67% are on Facebook, Pew found. That compares with 20% who use LinkedIn and 16% who are on Twitter. Charlottesville, Virginia has become the first city in the United States to formally pass an anti-drone resolution. The resolution passed by a 3-2 vote and was brought to the city council by activist David Swanson and the Rutherford Institute, a civil liberties group based in the city. The measure also endorses a proposed 2-year moratorium on drones in Virginia. Personal information of some 4,000 people in the banking industry, including bank officers, was posted online Sunday by the hacker collective Anonymous. The list was initially posted to the website for the Alabama Criminal Justice Information Center, then apparently taken down by that site's operators. The ACJIC did not respond to a request for comment about the incident. However, the list was also posted elsewhere online and remains available through Google's WebCache. The Liberty Beat is sponsored in part by Sovereign Living, illuminating your path to self-sufficiency. Online at SovereignLiving.tv, and by Brave New Books, specializing in free-thinking material for free people since 2006. Online at BraveNewBookstore.com.
With Truth News Radio. Well, in the second hour of today's show, I have a very important interview to bring you. I have on the line Sarah Shabbat, who joins us from Damascus in Syria. Sarah is a student of law at the university in Damascus, and she is an organizer of the group Over Our Dead Bodies, which we're going to hear more about during the interview. I've got a lot of questions. Hope that we can get some information that has been so difficult to get from people who rely on the mainstream news in the West for their information about what's going on in that part of the world. Sarah, welcome to Truth News Radio.
Hi, well, thank you.
It's great, a great honor to be able to speak to you.
It's my honor to be on your radio.
Well, thank you so much. The honor is shared. Sarah, can I get a little bit of your about your background? You are Syrian. You are currently studying law. Where do you sit within sort of the Syrian ethnic landscape? What is your sort of background and ancestry?
I'm a Syrian. I'm from Damascus. Actually, I live in Damascus and I'm still there, including the crisis. My old is only 20. I study law. That's all.
Okay. Can I ask you, just for a general background, are you from a Muslim society or Christian, or I mean, is there anything you can tell us about what your culture is? Because I know Syria has many Christians, it has many Muslims, and it has different Muslim sects.
Before the crisis and in the crisis, we are just Syrian. But I will answer you. I'm Muslim.
Right. It's just always helpful to know a little bit about people. Because
but in Syria, we don't have that talking. We are just Syrian. I don't know what to say.
I understand. Yes, it's something that's possibly overemphasized in the West, because we constantly hear about sectarian violence, and people certainly get the impression that in Syria, as say in Iraq, that there is this terrible problem between Alawites and different sort of Muslim sects. And I'm sorry, I don't have the correct names of all of those groups, but I know that it is believed and certainly promoted by the media that there is some terrible conflicts there. I mean, just can you briefly address that point?
In Syria, we don't have that. We all Muslim, Christian. We have so many religions. Really, it's not that matter. We have married between the leader also. We don't kill each other just for our religion. It's lie.
That's great. That's really, really important, I think, to emphasize that. Now, Sarah, you're a part of the group Over Our Dead Bodies. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Over Our Dead Bodies is a group we create ourselves. We are just a student. We are just some people love their country, and we live actually in Kasyun Mountain from a month ago. The idea we got it from a reporter called Ogaret Dandash from Al Mayadeen TV. She gave us the idea of the human shields, and we against the American attack. And we got it and camp in Mountain Kasyun to save our country.
Right. So you are forming a human shield, or your group is part of what you're calling a human shield to try and protect the country.
Yes, against the American attack.
Indeed. And we want to get into that more during the show. Sarah, I wanted to deal with some of the what appears to be propaganda that is coming from organisations such as the BBC and many large corporate broadcasters in the West, which I've long been very suspicious of. But the key thing that I want to address with you is the claims that are constantly made that the government there in Syria is a very brutal regime, and that people on the whole are terrified of their government or hate the government, and that the rebel movement that we've seen was a popular movement of protest that was initially, they said, a peaceful movement and was viciously suppressed by the government, and that the president Bashar al-Assad is a ruthless dictator. This is what we hear on the BBC every day. Can you address some of those points and correct some of that information if possible?
As a Syrian, and I will not take any side, really, we are a democratic country. We have a mosque, we have a church, we have a casino, we have anything we want. Really, I'm in Ramadan. Really, we have our iftar in out of our house. We stay until 5 a.m. in the street. This is the democracy. This is the freedom that we have. And actually, in the crisis, we don't have it anymore.
Really?
For real.
So Syria has been a secular state, a state with a lot of freedom, a pluralistic society, a cosmopolitan country where, similar to the West, you can live your life and you don't live within some sort of brutal totalitarian regime. Would that be correct to say?
Yes. Of course. We live our life. We don't get involved of every religion. Every religion is living like the way that they want. Bashar al-Assad is so democratic. He can kill all the Syrians if he wants, but he is so awesome. He's our leader, and we will never ever get him out of our country.
Now, of course, Sarah, many parallels have been drawn between what is happening in Syria and what happened in Libya. And, of course, the Libyan dictator ended up dying in a very horrific and undignified way. And it appears that the Western influenced forces, the agenda there seems to have succeeded in Libya, although the country there is in complete disarray, as we know. Do you believe that the outcome will be different in Syria? Do you believe there is something fundamentally more determined about the Syrian people that will prevent such an outcome?
Yes, they will not succeed in our country. That's for sure. Because if they might succeed, they have their win. I'm not getting the real idea. They will not succeed because I don't know what the word actually.
Sure. You get your support from.
No, we still have our president after 2.5 years. It will be 3 years in the March. If they succeed, they will succeed before now, not now.
I see what you're saying. Yes, you've endured this much. You've survived incredible onslaughts, incredible internal subversion. And I want to get into a lot of that in more detail. But you've survived as a people, and your government has survived intact. And yes, I would agree that a lot of the indications now seem to be that it's getting harder and harder to push the line that the Assad regime has to be removed. That certainly was for a long time what we heard on the news. Now, Sarah, one of the things I want to talk about in a lot of detail today is the so-called rebel movement in Syria. I'd like you to explain to me your understanding of what that is. As I understand, it's really not one entity. It's many, many groups, some of them lawless, some of them Islamic, some of them seem to be mercenaries. But can you give me your history of what you understand these rebels to be? I'd like to go back a little bit, a couple of years or even earlier, to when all this unrest began. And if you can step us through what actually happened in Syria and what you know, what it was like.
Those who are fighting in Syria are really not from Syria. They are outsider. They are from many of countries. We have so many people in here from outside Syria. The one who are fighting with them from the Syrian are fighting only for money, not for any of what they want.
So you say they're fighting for money, so they are essentially mercenary armies.
Mm.
Have you had any direct experience? Have you actually met any of these people? What is your day-to-day experience?
Yes. I met a man from Pakistan. He was fighting with our army, and when they got him, he said, "Please kill me! Please kill me! I want to go to the heaven and have a dinner with Muhammad."
Really? Okay. So it sounds like obviously some of these people are fanatical. Some of them are religious fanatics, but then again, some of them are perhaps doing it more for the money. I mean, what do you think is the balance between
all of them doing that for money? All of them.
All
if
of
they
them.
Want don't want money, they want to be our Syrian president, just like that.
Really? So they're all doing it for money in your experience, and of course, where is the money coming from?
That's the right question.
Yeah,
most of it come from Qatar,
right.
Saudi Arabia, Israel, all of them.
Really. And
and that's for sure. We know that they giving them the money, and we have so many
We're just going to break, Sarah. Do stay with us.
Okay.
You're listening to Truth News Radio Australia. We'll be right back after this short break. Don't go away.
Talk about gun grabbing got you down? How would you like to be the proud owner of a brand new AR-15? Then go to logosradionetwork.com and enter the drawing to win a free Rock River AR-15, sponsored by Zombie Killers Ammo and Guns. Support Logos Radio Network by donating just $20 to their fundraiser, and you'll get your name entered into the drawing. Second place prize is a Spikes Tactical AR-15 lower receiver, sponsored by CentralTexasGunWorks.com. Every $20 you donate will put your name in the hat. So increase your chances of winning by increasing your donation. Winners must be eligible to lawfully own and possess these items. Please visit LogosRadioNetwork.com for details. If you love all the liberty-minded programming on Logos Radio Network, contribute to the fundraiser and secure your chance to win a Rock River AR-15, sponsored by Zombie Killers Ammo and Guns. Like them on Facebook at Zombie Killers LLC. Contest ends February 28th.
Are you being harassed by debt collectors with phone calls, letters, or even lawsuits? Stop debt collectors now with the Michael Maris Proven Method. Michael Maris has won 6 cases in federal court against debt collectors, and now you can win too. You'll get step-by-step instructions in plain English on how to win in court using federal civil rights statutes, what to do when contacted by phone, mail, or court summons, how to answer letters and phone calls, how to get debt collectors out of your credit report, how to turn the financial tables on them and make them pay you to go away. The Michael Maris Proven Method is the solution for how to stop debt collectors. Personal consultation is available as well. For more information, please visit ruleoflawradio.com and click on the blue Michael Maris banner, or email michaelmaris@yahoo.com.
That's ruleoflawradio.com, or email michaelmiras@yahoo.com
to learn how to stop debt collectors now.
You're listening to Truth News Radio Australia, going beyond the spin, deception and propaganda of mainstream news. Visit truthnews.com.au and subscribe now. Back here with Truth News Radio. And I'm talking today to Sarah Shabbat, a law student at Damascus University in Syria. And we've been going through some of the myths and misconceptions about what is taking place in Syria. And we've just moved to the subject of who indeed are the rebels and who in fact is paying them. Now, Sarah, you were saying at the end of the last segment there that there is money coming in from Saudi Arabia, from Qatar, and even from Israel. Of course, many people believe that the US is involved directly in Syria. Many people have suggested that there are special forces or CIA operating with the rebels. Can you give us any insights on that?
Yes, we have many of them. They are actually giving a train for the tourists and teach them how to fight and how to kill.
Really?
Let them leave our country alone, please.
So they're teaching the...
In my experience, you can ask Mr. Franklin Lamb, if you know him.
Indeed, yeah.
He's an American. He come to Syria. He is between us, and see everything. He got up to the mountain. We are not cutting off him any of the information. He know everything. He saw everything. He didn't hurt.
Yes.
No one touched him.
Yes.
He's an American.
That's good to know. That's very good to know. And Franklin Lamb writes a lot of great articles which do get published in some of the independent publications from the UK and around the world. I've read quite a few of his articles.
His last article about our tourist minister. And before it, about our campaign over our dead body, he explained everything. And there is a photo for the one who said, no, you are not in Syria. He includes the article for a photo from the mountain.
Excellent, excellent. That's terrific. Let's talk a little more about the rebel forces, Sarah. So... currently, well, they've been, the insurgency has been increasing over the years. Now, again, I want to address some of the claims that have been made over the years about the relationship between the government security forces and the rebels, because what we've heard is that the government was killing citizens, killing protesters. But what I've picked up and what many independent researchers have picked up is that these so-called protesters, who really are the foreign rebels, were actually killing or massacring both civilians and government for several years, and that the government had to respond in order to maintain law and order and to protect its people. What can you say to that?
The government at the first of the crisis didn't kill, didn't do anything. The army was not able to fight. They just keep talking with the revolution and talking. Then when they fight us, fight the government, I mean, we have to defend ourselves.
Right. It became essentially a war that you had to defend the Syrian nations, yes, Syrian people.
Course. And when people when people save the revolution and don't and make them fight the army and don't. And don't report the government that we have a revolution in our house.
Yes.
Let them die. They don't love their country for a real.
I see. Sarah, I'd like to talk a little about the chemical weapons attacks. Some stories have come out recently which I was talking about earlier in the show today. Now, of course, the official Western media position on this is that the chemical weapons attacks, which took place in August in Ghouta, were the were perpetrated by the regime, and the UN investigation, although it hasn't confirmed that, it hasn't refuted that either. The spokespeople who've taken the information to the media from the West have basically said, well, it's proven, we're absolutely confident, we know for certain that this took place. But the Syrian government and the government of Russia have both been very adamant that the information they have indicates that these chemical weapons attacks were actually carried out by the rebels. Now, in some of the information I was looking at today, it appears that there is evidence that suggests not only were the chemical weapons attacks committed by the rebels, but that the children who were killed in these chemical weapons attacks were Alawite children who had been kidnapped from villages in different parts of Syria and were basically hostages of the rebels, and that these were the children who were killed in the chemical weapons attack. Can you tell us anything more about that? It's a very disturbing story.
In my opinion, I don't believe that there were a chemical attack, for sure. When chemical attacks come, and whoever do it, why people come went to there and don't die? The chemical will be in the earth, in the air. Why people didn't have anything from the chemical? There were someone who are taking photos. There one who are laughing. They all actors, in my belief, for sure. And the government will never ever put any chemical in our countries or have an a chemical attack in our countries. President Bashar al-Assad is he loves Syria. He will not do that for Syrian people.
So your view on this is that the chemical weapons attack did not occur. Are you saying there was not use of sarin gas? Is that your understanding?
Yes. Because I went to Ghouta, and I don't have any chemical. I don't see any chemical in the noticed anything in the air, in the earth, in the neighborhood. It's all like a good life, and it's a normal life, like they don't have anything in Ghouta.
And when were you there? I believe the chemical attacks were alleged to have occurred. Say again.
I went there after 3 days from the attack.
Okay, so you were there 3 days after the attack, and you didn't notice evidence of what had occurred. But of course, the sarin gas is said to have a very short lifespan. We are going to break. I'm going to return to this subject after the break. I'm talking to Sarah Shabbat, law student at Damascus University, Very interesting interview, ladies and gentlemen. I hope you can stay with us for the rest of the hour.
May be singing that tune, they're being outfitted with cameras to watch us while we shop. I'm Dr. Catherine Albrecht, back with details after this.
Privacy is under attack. When you give up data about yourself, you'll never get it back again. And once your privacy is gone, you'll find your freedoms will start to vanish too. So protect your rights. Say no to surveillance and keep your information to yourself. Privacy, it's worth hanging on to. This message is brought to you by StartPage.com, the private search engine alternative to Google, Yahoo, and Bing. Start over with StartPage.
It's disturbing enough that Big Brother governments use facial recognition technology to identify and track people on the streets. Now clothing companies in Europe, Canada, and America are getting in on the act. So where do they hide the cameras? In the eyes of mannequins. That's right, those glamorous plastic ladies in the display windows may be watching you back. They're called eye seers, and their job is to log the age, gender, and race of passersby, so retailers can devise new schemes to get you to buy. But hang on, aren't mannequins spooky enough already? This is taking weird science to a whole new level. I'm Dr. Catherine Albrecht for StartPage.com, the world's most private search engine.
This is Building 7, a 47-story skyscraper that fell on the afternoon of September 11th.
The government says that fire brought it down. However, 1,500 architects and engineers concluded it was a controlled demolition.
Over 6,000 of my fellow service members have given their lives.
And thousands of my fellow first responders are dying.
I'm not a conspiracy theorist.
I'm a structural engineer.
I'm a New York City correction officer.
I'm an Air Force pilot.
I'm a father who lost his son.
We're Americans, and we deserve the truth.
Go to rememberbuilding7.org today.
Thought that I was doing well, but the truth to you I'll tell. MSGs and GMO really ain't the way to go. There's a better way I've seen. It's called Tangy Tangerine. And we're all drinking Tangy Tangerine. Tangy Tangerine, Tangy Tangerine. We're all drinking Tangy Tangerine, Tangy Tangerine, Tangy Tangerine.
Order Beyond Tangy Tangerine and other great longevity products at LogosRadioNetwork.com by clicking on the Tangy Tangerine banner. Sign up as a preferred customer for wholesale prices or become a distributor and support LogosRadioNetwork.com. So what do you say, Elvis?
Hi, welcome back. You're with Truth News Radio, and I'm talking to Sarah Shabbat, student at Damascus University studying law. We've been talking about the chemical weapons attacks which took place in Syria, and Sarah has been giving us her perspective on it, which is a little different to what I expected. But then again, when we speak to people directly in a place, we often get a very, very different picture to anything that we receive from the media. Sarah, I just want to return to this question about the attacks. You're saying you think the whole thing was a hoax, essentially. Is that right?
Yes.
Now,
I need to know what you accept. What did you think that I will say?
I'm hearing some very loud noises in the background. There are those explosions.
This called Howin, yes.
Okay.
It's It's from our government to the revolution who are in Zobor or Berze.
Ah, okay, okay. So you are safe where you are?
Near there. And we have a normal life. I just went back from the university. My father is in his work. We don't have any different life.
Your life is continued. The university is still operating. This the basic services are still running. Is that correct?
Yeah. Yes.
Well, that's good to know. Are you periodically afraid, though? Obviously, having mortars and shells going over your head could be somewhat disturbing. Do you feel safe where you are?
Yes, of course. And I will never get out of my home because it's a safe area and the army protects us. And we don't have actually anything in Syria, in Damascus. We have a normal life. We go shopping. We go to a wedding party. We do all of that.
Okay, that's good to know. So, Sarah, just returning to the chemical attacks, because obviously this has been such a dominant thing in the news. And, of course, we've seen the diplomatic breakthrough that took place with the help of Vladimir Putin, the help of Russia, that appears to have averted the threat of a US strike against Syria in the short term. But of course, as long as there is the perception that these crimes against humanity took place and that they were perpetrated by the Syrian government, I don't think the Syrian government can ever feel secure. Because of course, these are very, very extreme accusations. Now, of course, your position on it is different to what I was expecting. Most of what I've read has certainly been confirming that there was a chemical weapons attack. So I'd like to know more about, I guess, what other people think. Is the general perception on the ground that that these chemical weapons attacks did not occur? Sarah, are you there? Looks like we may have lost our connection with Sarah. We're going to try and get that back. I do hope that wasn't connected to any of those explosions we heard there in the background. Bear with us while we try and get that connection back. Unfortunately, we have been unable to get Sarah back, and I do hope that that is not a sign of something bad having happened. We heard those mortars there going off, and then her line cut out. I also tried calling on a mobile phone number that I have for her, which did not work either. I'll keep you updated in future shows, and hopefully we will be able to get her on to continue that conversation. Now, Sarah's take on the chemical attacks is clearly very different to the other views we've seen expressed, including statements that were made by the Syrian government. I think it's important to take in all perspectives on a situation like this, but we can't really know for sure. I'd like to play to you some more clips. I've got actually another video clip here from Mother Agnes Mariam talking about Western-funded terrorism in Syria. And I'll just play that for you now.
It's a life of fear, of insecurity, and of lack of future. we are divided like a kind of tumors. In every part, we have armed people coming and forcing civilians to live following their orders. And what they want is to paralyze civilian life, so there is no more shops. If you need something, you can't find a worker. And of course, you don't have nutrition, you don't have alimentation, lack of food, lack of fuel, lack of electricity. And this fear, because you don't know when it will be your turn to be considered as a collaborator. And we think that something is going wrong more and more in the general way of orienting this strive, what's so called, for freedom and democracy. I am not Syrian, but I have been living in Syria for today almost 20 years. Syria was under a kind of totalitarian regime, but not in only a way, a repressive way, but it was that all the decision would be taken by few persons. But there was security, there was food, education, and people were living, of course, not in a kind of that they would say their thinking in a loud voice. Now, this totalitarianism is not good and it's obsolete. But if the armed insurrection is implementing another totalitarianism, which is maybe worse, because there is blood, they can behead you, they can cut your, last week in our village, they cut the fingers of a so-called collaborator who is native from the village. Then they behead him, and they cut him in peace, and they left him in the street where even children would see it. So this kind of acts of atrocities cannot help people to really believe that what is happening is a strive for freedom. The majority of the Syrian population, I say, is taken as hostage and sometimes as a tool, as a mean, by these armed insurrection people. They come and they take place in the civilian areas. Why? Why you don't make your combat? We have a lot of desert. It is against international laws. But what really scandalizes us and leaves us in distress is that the Western world seemed to be encouraging this rise of sectarian violence just to topple the regime. We are against violence, and we are against justifying violence. You can't say that this man is killing another man and he is justified to kill him.
You've been listening there to an interview with Mother Agnes Mariam from the Monastery of St. James the Mutilated in Syria. We were talking to Sarah from Damascus, but the line dropped out. We will try to reconnect. We'll be back after this break. Don't go away.
Mr. President, members of Congress, you've been making a lot of noise about taking our guns away. But you might want to review history. 1835, Gonzales, Texas Territory. The authorities wanted to confiscate the big gun that protected that colony. You know what the people said? Come and take it, because they were willing to fight for their freedom and their guns. So are we.
Come and take it if you want it. Come and take it if you think you can. Come and take it, but I warn you, you'll have to pry it from my cold dead hands. We want the freedom that God gave us,
So you best not cross that line. If you want this gun, you gotta come through us and take it.
One shot at a time.
Just like Gonzalez, we're keeping our guns.
Are you the plaintiff or defendant in a lawsuit? Win your case without an attorney with JurisDictionary, the affordable, easy-to-understand 4-CD course that will show you how in 24 hours, step by step. If you have a lawyer, know what your lawyer should be doing. If you don't have a lawyer, know what you should do for yourself. Thousands have won with our step-by-step course, and now you can too. JurisDictionary was created by a licensed attorney with 22 years of case-winning experience. Even if you're not in a lawsuit, you can learn what everyone should understand about the principles and practices that control our American courts. You'll receive our audio classroom, video seminar, tutorials, forms for civil cases, pro se tactics, and much more. Please visit ruleoflawradio.com and click on the banner or call toll-free 866-LAW-EASY.
You with Truth News Radio. Well, I've been unable to raise Shira Shabbat again on the phone. I've tried the Skype number and her mobile number several times, and there is nothing is working, so a bit disturbing. But we will plow on with this show. I'm going to continue playing here a clip from an interview with Mother Agnes Mariam from a monastery in Syria. And she's talking here about the Syrian regime. She's talking very honestly about some of the problems and the realities of the Syrian regime as it stands. And she's also talking about the even greater dangers and threats from the ongoing insurgency. So I'll just continue with that interview now.
Moreover, when through his movements he is putting in real danger and having terrible collateral damages to a whole civilian population, which was neutral. That's what is happening in Aleppo. You know, we are responsible, and if we are not responsible today, but we are responsible toward the history. Once all those atrocity will be revealed, when you will see a family whose girl has been abused, or I have heard about collective abusing, whose son has been beheaded, whose father has been abducted. You know that there are thousands of people, you don't know where they are because they have been abducted. Sometimes they are bandits. They say, we are in the revolution, but they are bandits, mafias who come to ask ransom. Some others, they have like sectarian hatred. So they take this one because he is Alawi. They take this one because he is a moderate Muslim. So we don't know. It's a confusion. It's a chaos. And what really grieves us is that the international community holds a paradox. On one side, they say, with hypocrisy, we want peace. We want to protect the civilian population. They even want to intervene in a military way, like in other countries. But on the other hand, they are funding and sending intelligence helps and sending weapons to rebels. Really, you don't know from where they come. We are working with our religious leaders, with Muslim religious leaders, with pacifist, with also a leader, a family leader, tribal leaders, to say that there is a third way. And the third way is a way of non-violence, but real non-violence. When there is no attacks and aggression, there is no motivation for any repression. Second, the civilian society in Syria is upset. And we are asking for human rights. Not only human rights for rebels, but human rights for the normal citizens who are caught in between. And we are asking also, why should the combats be held in civilian areas? For example, in Aleppo, those people, they came from outside. I have been talking with prelates, I have been talking with families. They don't know whom they are foreigners. Either they come from northern villages, from Idlib or from northern Aleppo countryside, or they come from foreign countries. What are they doing in Aleppo? Why are they doing? Why are they funded and helped and fueled with weapons? And why are they introducing themselves in between the civilian population? And then they say that the army is bombing civilian areas. Please, don't enter in civilian population. Don't enter in residence area. Go to the desert if you want to make your war. It is against human rights and it is against the Charter of Geneva. So I want to say to all who are looking at me, I am a Christian and I believe in God. I believe in Jesus Christ. Non-violence is the best way to get what we want, the non-violence. And in all good revolutions, you look at Gandhi, you look at Nelson Mandela, even you look here in Ireland, when you can stop violence and you can enter in a real path of dialogue, accepting the other, sometimes you have to forget your interest. You cannot take everything. You forget your interest. We can arrive to a common ground.
I'll just leave it there. Clearly, there are complexities in this conflict in Syria. And Mother Miriam there certainly has highlighted some things that often aren't talked about in the very polarized discussions we have on the subject. But she makes it quite clear that the foreign insurgency is an evil unto itself, and that the way in which the Western governments have been encouraging and funding this foreign insurgency is just, as she says, it's a paradox. I tend to think of it as just a manifestation of just pure evil. I know that may sound like a rather naive thing to say, but it just, unfortunately, the Western regimes have become deeply, deeply corrupt, deeply wicked. Let me finish up with a continuation here from the clip I was playing you earlier in the show from the Corbett Report, in which they were talking about the staging of the chemical weapons attack. Now, of course, the possibility that these attacks were completely staged is one which, frankly, I can't say I subscribe to, because there has been so much other evidence that's come forward, including the UN investigations, that has basically said, yes, there was sarin gas used, there were nerve agents used. But I think we need more discussion. We need to be able to talk to many, many more people. But let's continue now with a little bit more from the clip here from the Corbett Report.
These claims dovetail with videos posted by the Mujahideen press office to YouTube just 6 days before the attack, confirming that the terrorists had kidnapped hundreds of women and children from the rural villages of Alawite stronghold Latakia to use as bargaining chips in the conflict. Were these kidnapped victims moved to Ghouta to be killed in the chemical weapons attack? Is this why so many children were there in these largely vacated areas, and why so few parents appear on video mourning their children? Although further research and investigation is urgently needed by third-party organizations to establish the identity of the Ghouta attack victims and the whereabouts of the kidnapped Latakian families, the reports, if true, are evidence of the most disgraceful war crimes imaginable, and the most cold-blooded manipulations of evidence to suit an agenda. Earlier this month, Global Research Director Michelle Chosadovsky appeared on GRTV to discuss the nature of the terrorist insurgency in Syria.
And in all likelihood, although there is no actual proof, the rebels were behind the chemical weapons attack. And we know that the rebels are, in fact, paid mercenaries financed by the Western Military Alliance. So in effect, the United States and its allies are behind these atrocities. And they have right from the beginning. These rebels are trained. They're trained in Qatar and Saudi Arabia. They have training manuals. The atrocities, the executions are following a pattern. And Western intelligence is behind these rebels.
We'll just leave it there. I have actually been reviewing some of the YouTube videos, of which there are many, that are suggesting that the Syrian chemical weapons attacks, in fact, never did take place. And I think there is something to be considered here. I'll play to you a clip here from RT that was actually broadcast about a month ago. Expert casts doubt on chemical weapons footage. Now, I believe this was in the earlier clip on the Corbett Report, but it was part of a kind of a montage. If we focus in on the evidence of this one expert and just consider this for a moment.
As videos of an alleged chemical attack in Syria are shown to the world, some experts are casting doubt on their authenticity. Stephen Johnson is an expert in chemical explosives.
There are, within some of the videos, examples which seem a little hyper-real and almost as if they've been set up, which is not to say that they are fake, but it does cause some concern. Some of the people with foaming, the foam seems to be too white, too pure, and not consistent with the sort of internal injury you might expect to see, which you'd expect to be bloodier or yellower.
Syrian anti-government activists claim regime forces targeted suburbs of Damascus with a toxic gas.
At this stage, everyone wants a yes-no answer to chemical attack.
Now, of course, the analysis that we've seen so far that suggests that the attacks were staged could have been staged in a completely fake way, or could have been staged in a way that it was actually real chemical agents used and real children killed. They're both a type of staged event. Of course, one is much more horrific. One actually involves the literal killing of many people. The other would simply be to create the impression that that many people had been killed. To be honest with you, I couldn't say what the reality is here. I don't think anyone does. I mean, I don't think we know. The news broadcasts, the evidence from the official investigation is so biased, is so full of spin, is never even presented clearly. So I would be inclined to be very open-minded to the possibility that the chemical weapons attack never even took place. And of course, the Syrian government has the chemical agents. They've admitted that. That's not in dispute. So it was very interesting to talk to our guest there from Damascus, and I do hope that we are able to reconnect with her. And I will be trying to bring other guests to the show. I will be in touch with some of the other people that we've seen in the assorted broadcast we brought to you today, so we can fill in the picture. That's what we're here for. It's about you and me learning together. That's Truth News Australia for another week. We'll be back. See you then.
Would you like to make more definite progress in your walk with God? Bibles for America is offering a free study Bible and a set of free Christian books that can really help. The New Testament Recovery Version is one of the most comprehensive study Bibles available today. It's an accurate translation, and it contains thousands of footnotes that will help you to know God and to know the meaning of life. The free books are a three-volume set called Basic Elements of the Christian Life. Chapter by chapter, Basic Elements of the Christian Life clearly presents God's plan of salvation, growing in Christ, and how to build up the church. To order your free New Testament Recovery Version and Basic Elements of the Christian Life, call Bibles for America toll-free at 888-551-0102. That's 888-551-0102. 0102 or visit us online at bfa.org.
Looking for some truth? You found it. LogosRadioNetwork.com.